Well, it is indeed a privilege to be with you today, worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm going to just push that out of the way. I think this will pick up if that feels like it's right there, like I'm going to eat it or something. But it really is good to be together as believers and to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where would we be without God? Well, as we think about the assignment today, as we think about a message on the biblical qualifications on adding a deacon, you know, it's an exciting time in the life of the congregation. It's really a milestone that the congregation will have here as we think about adding to the present leadership team. The request has been made known by the ministry team, and it's come to the congregation, and the congregation has approved that to move forward. And you say, well, why do we need to add to the ministry team anyway? I think I heard, how many people did they name this morning are becoming a part of the fellowship here? The reason why more need to be added to the team is because of the growth that is happening here in the fellowship, and we praise the Lord for that. But, you know, I just want to remind us, numbers, that's okay. You know, the church grows and you add numbers to the role, numbers to the church. But it would be my prayer that we would not only be blessed by numbers, but that we would yearn for spiritual growth within the body as well. That spiritual growth would happen as well. You know, if the church is going to grow, it recognizes that the present team can't do it all. The work needs to be spread out. Now the time has come to identify, to begin the process of identifying, seeking the Lord's direction on who God wants to choose for this great work. So we have a great and wonderful work before us. But you know, God wants you to do your part. I don't think this morning that God is just going to write a name there on the wall on who His choice is to serve in this role as deacon. You have a sacred privilege, a sacred responsibility in determining who this brother should be. You know, and this is the working of the Holy Spirit through men. God wants to use each of you in identifying His choice. And as we think about the discernment process, that term was kind of used earlier this morning, but as we think about the discernment process, you say, well, what is that? What does the discernment process mean? Well, in that, what we want to do is seek God's direction. You know, it's as much as we can keep man out of it, and as we can see God move and God work, we want to hear His direction. We want to seek His ways and His will as we move forward. You know, keeping man out of it, you know, that means we talk to God. And I appreciate the emphasis that has been put in this, in prayer and fasting within the congregation here, to be seeking God's will and God's way and identifying His choice. But you know, as I said earlier, we want to keep man out of it and we want to hear from God. And one of the ways that we do that as a body of believers, as members, we don't talk to each other, we talk to God. We seek God instead of talking to each other about who God may be choosing. So we have our part to do. You know, and God gave us a way to do that. He really has. He has given us a handbook on how to call a deacon. And I brought that handbook along this morning. It's God's holy word. We go to God's word for direction in all of life. And I'm so thankful that as we think about moving forward in identifying leadership, that we can look to God's word. We can allow Him to give direction. Not sure if this is a good time to insert it, but Mark, I kind of got started a little bit later here, and I'm not sure we're going to finish up by 10 to 12. But you know what? We're having meal here, right? The meal's here. It's going to be waiting. So let's just forget about the clock. It's going to be okay. I'm sure there'll be plenty of food. It's probably not going to get burned or anything, but we may go just a little bit over that 12. So let's let go of the clock here for a little bit because 20 minutes ain't going to cut it. Not if I'm going to be faithful. Thank you. But again, we have our part to do in this. And God wants to use each of you in the process of identifying His choice. And this morning we want to look at some biblical steps. In fact, you can turn to Acts. We're going to use Acts chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the first 7 verses here in this passage. And we're going to be looking at the early church there in Acts and how God laid out a plan for them to move forward in identifying leadership and choosing leadership. You know, as we think about God's choice, our own personal feelings really need to give way to God and the biblical qualifications. Acts chapter 6, I'm going to be reading this out of the New King James. "Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.'" Verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." To give a little background here on the early church, the early church was growing by leaps and bounds, and it presented some challenges. I mean, they're out preaching the word. People are getting saved. Souls are being added daily to the church. And because of that, it created some challenges within the church. You know, whenever a number of disciples is multiplying, you know, whenever God is in something, there will always be opposition. Let's not forget that. Where God is moving and where God is working, there will be opposition. Here in the early church, they're growing. Souls are being added daily to the church. The church is growing. It says there arose a murmuring. There in verse 1, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. You know, there arose a murmuring. The first obstacle that threatened to divide the church was murmuring. It's the same attitude. The word here means grumbling. It means grumbling. But it's the same attitude that the children of Israel had back in the desert. Grumbling. You know, and when you think about grumbling and murmuring, oftentimes when that happens within a fellowship, it's usually my own personal feelings, usually I is a big word in grumbling. Usually it comes back to me and what I want. But here, so we hear that we understand that there was some murmuring, some grumbling going on. Well, what was the problem? The problem was this. There were 2 groups of widows within the church who qualified for support. 2 groups of widows. One was a group of Greek-speaking Jewish Christians. The other one was a group of Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians. And when the distribution occurred, now we tend to think that was probably food, but maybe it was money. When the distribution occurred, the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians were being overlooked. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it was intentional. It could have been by accident. But can't you almost hear one of those persons within the church saying, "You know what? This is not right. I mean, why are they ignoring us? What is going on here? We qualify to get support just as much as that group does." Can't you almost hear that happening within the fellowship? Well, they were right. They did qualify to receive support and to receive help. So, what happened? It says the need gets made to the 12 apostles, and they get asked to intercede. They went to the apostles to straighten out the matter. They did the right thing. They went to those who could do something about it. Something we need to learn in the church. However, the apostles were unwilling to take over the food distribution. They said, you know what? We can't do that. We can't do that. Now, did that mean that they didn't care? Did they not care about the widows? Were they racist? I mean, what was going on here? Why did they not get involved in helping with the distribution? Look at their response. They said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Were they saying that serving tables or taking care of the widows was beneath them? Is that what they were saying? No, I don't think so. They were saying that they were not called to do that work. As honorable as a work as it is to take care of the widows, if they spent their time doing that, they would not fulfill their call as ministers of the gospel. Their primary responsibility was to preach the word and to teach and to pray and to study. You know, they could have been tempted to say, think about it. They come to the apostles and they lay this out. You think they were tempted to say, you know what, guys, I guess we can do that yet. You think that's what they said, Mark? So they come to you guys, to your team, and they threw, well, I guess we can do that yet. Don't know how, but I guess somehow we'll try to figure it out. I'm glad that they said, no, we're going to get more men involved in the work. Why? So that the church could grow and so that it could continue to prosper. I think too many times, even in our settings, sometimes we think that a small leadership team has to do everything. And we're hesitant to delegate things out and to spread the workload out. God didn't mean it that a couple of ministers within the church go crazy trying to solve all the needs and take care of all the needs in the church. That's not what God had in mind. He wanted the work to be spread out so that the church could grow and prosper. They concluded, we need to call more help. We need to find men who are willing to serve. The Greek word for serve is the one which we derive the word deacon. Now, the men that were helping here, they were already men. The men that were called were already involved serving. It's just they didn't have an official title of deacon yet. They were already involved in helping and working within the church. Well, let's look at the biblical steps in choosing leaders here in verse 3. The biblical steps in choosing leaders. The very first step there in verse 3, it says, therefore, brethren, seek out. Seek out. I believe King James says, look ye. In other words, seek out. Look around you. Inspect those that are within the fellowship. The word seek out there is a verb. It requires action. It requires action on our part. He's saying, look around you, seek out, inspect. God has entrusted you to seek out, to inspect, to look around, to find God's choice. You know, God is going to choose someone who is gifted to carry out the work. However, God wants to use each one of you in identifying through you His choice and determining who that brother should be. This is the working of the Holy Spirit through men, through you. God wants to use each of you in identifying through you His choice. The second thing that I see here, the second step that I see here, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you. Seek out from among you. God will use you to choose His choice from someone among you, somebody within the fellowship, out from among you. In Titus 1, says that Paul said, I ordain elders in every church. And throughout the New Testament, we see that leadership was called out of the body of believers. You know, there are definite, out of the local church, there are definite advantages in calling men from the local brotherhood versus calling one from outside of the congregation. You know, someone within the congregation, they know the church. They know the people. But also, the church knows them. They get to know them. And in your whole process, it's been laid out. I think that was a wise thing to have in there, 2-year members. Why was that put in? That was put in because if somebody is a member for 2 years, you're probably going to get to know them. You're going to know what makes them tick. You're going to get a chance to see their heartbeat and who they are. So there's safety. There's safety in that. Someone within knows the people and the community, and people know him. So we see, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you. Here they chose 7 men, but the next thing, good reputation. The third step, look for someone with a good reputation. The King James uses honest report. A good reputation, an honest report. In other words, someone with a track record in being faithful. Seek out someone with a track record. Someone who is already serving God, already being faithful with the responsibilities that God has given him. Somebody already serving God. Sometimes I run into situations. It could be somebody who feels called to the mission field. It could be within the church in leadership. But they say, you know what? If I could just get to the mission field, then God would use me in a mighty way. Or, you know, if I was just a leader within the church, then God could use me in a mighty way. And yet, sometimes in those settings, I don't see those people lifting a finger. If it's missions and God is calling them to missions, that should be a part of their life right now and who they are, because it's their heartbeat. Serving, because it's a heartbeat. Someone who is already serving God, already being faithful with the responsibilities that God has given him. You know, if you look down through history, some of the greatest men, some of the greatest leaders were not men who were out there seeking some kind of high position. Many of those men were men who preferred to stay back in the shadows, weren't necessarily looking for something in the spotlight. And yet, they kept being faithful to what God gave them at the time. Faithful men who keep saying yes to God. Yes, God. Whatever you have. And then be faithful in that. Reputation speaks to how they lived and who they are. Someone who has already done something. Listen. The licensing or the ordination service will not be the beginning of who he will become tomorrow. It will most likely be a continuation of who he was yesterday. He needs to have a track record. You know, this will qualify some people, but it will also disqualify people by their track record, by their reputation, how they lived, who they are, their reputation. So we need to seek out from among you men with honest report, a good reputation, somebody who already has a track record of being faithful, someone with a good reputation, not only within the church, but outside the church as well, in the community, in the job. When you think about God's choice and who God may be laying on your hearts, as you think about that person, as you think about that name, and you think about reputation, think outside of church as well. What about on the job site? What kind of a person is he known? What is his reputation? What about in the community? Reputation. God will call someone who is gifted, able to carry out the work of a deacon, but also someone who will work well within the present leadership team. God will call a team player, someone who's going to fit in well on the present team, someone that's going to be a team player and help pull his share of responsibility. You know, I believe Stephen and Philip and the men that were called were men of godly character. They were men of good report, good reputation. They had a track record of being faithful to what God had given them. It was evident that they walked with God. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you men of good reputation who have a track record, an honest report. The fourth thing that I see here, it says, men of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, but full of the Holy Spirit. You know, seek out someone full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, people that are Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled. How do you know what that looks like if someone is full of the Holy Spirit? Men who are Spirit-filled. Does that mean that their halo just shines a little brighter? What does that look like? What does that mean? You know, we can tell if someone is Spirit-filled by examining if they're Spirit-controlled. Are you with me? We can tell if someone is Spirit-filled by examining if they are Spirit-controlled. Are they under the control of the Holy Spirit? Romans 8, 9 says, you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by the Spirit. That should be the testimony of all of God's children, learning to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Again and again in the New Testament, we are told to be controlled by the Spirit of God, to walk by the Holy Spirit, and to exhibit the fruits or actions of a Spirit-filled life. Verse 3 says, therefore, brethren, seek out, look around, choose men who are Holy Spirit-controlled. Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. Let's just turn to that briefly here. Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. That's a long sentence there. It starts at verse 18 and ends at 21. But let me read this. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, or King James says, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking and making melody in your heart to the Lord, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. One of the evidences or signs of being Spirit-filled person of a Spirit-filled person is they have a melody in their hearts. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Someone who is controlled by the Spirit. They are happy people. They're happy. They have a joy in their heart. Singing and making melody in their heart. They're happy people. They're the kind of people that you want to be around. Happy people, someone who has a melody in their heart. The reason why they're happy is because they have a clear conscience. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing. They got a clear conscience. They're a happy people, happy hearts. They're free, no guilt, a clear conscience. A deacon without a melody in his heart. I'm not sure what word I want to use there. But it would not be good. It would be a thorn within the team and within the church. As you think about the biblical qualifications, consider, does this person have a melody in his heart? Is he a happy person? Verse 20 says, and speaking to giving thanks always. Actually, verse 20, yes, verse 20. Giving thanks always to all things to God the Father. The second thing that I see there is a Spirit-filled person is a thankful person. They're thankful for what they have. It's not based on how much they have. They're thankful for what God has given them, what God has entrusted to them. They're thankful people. You know, along with, and being thankful, that's thankful for what God has given them, but also thankful for the way that God blessed others. Because we don't all have the same things. A thankful person. A thankful heart. You know, thankfulness involves contentment. Contentment with what they have and with what others have. Because again, not everyone has the same things. So a Spirit-filled person is a thankful person. You know, thankfulness involves contentment. Content with what they have and with what others have. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, I want to just share there. And we think about, well, maybe I'll let that go. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Holy Spirit people respond in the right way to the authorities that are in their life. Are you with me? They're the kind of people who come under authority. You want to choose a man who has a track record, a reputation of coming under authority. It's a characteristic of being Spirit controlled. You choose people who are under authority so they know how to lead when they are in authority. Choose someone who understands headship and authority. You know, in the business world, they will choose a foreman or a manager from someone from within who moves up the ranks that was under authority, that worked well in the team. They don't choose men that are always bucking authority and coming against what the company's trying to do. They choose men that have a track record of coming under authority. Matthew 8:9, the centurion. Remember what the centurion said? He said, "For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers over me and under me. And yes, Jesus, I know who you are. Speak the word." He understood authority. You need to choose someone who has a track record of coming under authority. And you know, authority is not a dirty word. Why is it that authority in the church has become a dirty word? God has placed authority in our lives for our protection. It's for our protection. It's for safety. Authority is not a dirty word. You know, I get out on the road a lot and do a lot of traveling there within the business that I work for. And you know, doesn't it blow your mind? You come up to these construction zones and they look younger and younger all the time. Maybe it's me. But they look so young. It's like, they look like they're 16, but I'm sure they got to be at least 18, you know. But here's this, you know, 5'1" little girl, you know, with a ponytail and a flag, and she holds that flag out there, and everybody stops. Now, there might be how many cars? 8, 10 cars, a dump truck, and a couple 18-wheelers all lined up. Is she holding back the line of vehicles? No, it's authority. It's authority. When you join a church, you voluntarily place yourself under the authority of the church. There's protection and safety with authorities in our lives. Ooh, we got to move. The fifth thing I see here, let's go back to Acts chapter 6. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, to whom we may appoint over this business." And wisdom. The person that you are seeking out will need to be a man of wisdom. And here, I believe wisdom here is not just speaking to spiritual wisdom. but I believe just a good old common sense wisdom in the practical affairs of life. The new deacon, you know, people are going to call. They're going to call and they're going to say, you know, what would you do in this situation? I'm not quite sure what to do. And you know, I got a decision to make here, and could you help me? I don't know what to do. Can you give me some guidance? Can you give me some direction? It's going to be a need. It needs to be a person who has wisdom. It needs to be the kind of guy that you would go to for advice. Because it's a person that you listen up when that person speaks, because he gives good advice, common sense, wisdom. Someone you'd go to for advice. Wisdom, if this person is going to be an influencer for the kingdom, he must be characterized by wisdom. James 3 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." You know, it also involves wisdom in finances as well. You know, under your position description, as I looked over that, and I saw the job description under responsibilities, you know, stay in touch with the physical and financial needs of the congregation, something about the benevolence fund there, turn the page, leadership team representative to the finance committee, mentor and work with people financially, be in contact with missionary support teams regarding financial needs of the missionaries. It needs to be someone who has wisdom in dealing with finances. It needs to be someone who has a track record of handling their own finances well. Someone with a track record. Everything slides around in this pulpit, Mark. It's, you wax it or something, just... But again, it needs to be someone with wisdom in finances as well. I guess I just have too many notes. My apologies. But as you seek out whom God would choose to fill this role, look for someone among you, someone connected among you, somebody who's connected, already a part of what's happening, someone who has the vision and the heartbeat for life. Can I say it this way? Someone who's died in the wool life fellowship. Someone not on the fringes of what's happening or in the practices of the church. Seek out someone with a good reputation, with a good report, a track record, someone full of the Holy Spirit, someone who has a melody in their heart, not a negative person, someone who is thankful, a thankful person, someone who is grateful, that shows gratefulness in their lives, someone who knows what it is to come under authority, someone with wisdom. In 1 Timothy 3:11, for lack of time, I'm just going to go to one verse here. But in the 11th verse in Timothy, it says, "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." The King James uses the word, "Likewise, their wives must be grave." How many read that and say, "What does that mean?" Grave is talking about reverent, someone who would be described as being reverent. You know, basically the wives are to have the same qualifications, same qualities as their husband. As you seek out, as God puts a name on your heart, someone that is being described in what we're talking, in what God's Word is laying out this morning, then think about his wife. reverent, honorable, worthy of respect, not slanders. Slanders is malicious talkers, not an accuser or a fault finder or a negative person. Temperate, watchful, prudent, alert, cautious, trustworthy, reliable. If that's not the case, again, I'm not sure what word I want to put in there, but it would not be good. It would be a thorn. You know, there are men who may have the biblical qualifications laid out here in Scripture. And as you look at their wife, she may not. And again, that would not be good. The sixth thing that I see here in this passage in verse 4 is prayer. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer. You know, this whole process needs to be bathed in the attitude of prayer. Seeking God's face. Asking God, by the power of your Spirit, Father, would you give me a name? Would you lay a name on my heart on who you want this to be? You know, as I work in congregations, sometimes I find situations where to call leadership is just a really, really scary thing. But God, you know, well, what about this? And God, what about that? And I was part of a church at one time in my life, and they tried calling leadership, and it just didn't go really well. And you know, God, and we have all kinds of questions. And maybe we can lay awake at night and not sleep because we're worried about all the questions. I just really want to encourage us. Let's commit this to prayer, seeking God's face, God's will on who He would choose. Let's trust God. Let's trust God. God, you give me a name, not someone else give me a name. Commitment to fasting and to prayer. After they prayed, they lay hands on them and sent them out. But look at the results here in verse 7. I just love verse 7. It says, and the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Because of their actions, by adding more people to the team, the word of God spread. Isn't that where it's at? Isn't that the purpose of the church? To spread the good news of salvation. To set people free. To let them know that they don't need to live a life of sin. That there is a better way. Because of the actions that they took in adding to the team, a great number of disciples multiplied. It says, the word of God spread, the number of disciples multiplied greatly, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, I don't quite understand all that means, Mark, but in my mind, I wonder, as word spread about what was happening there in the Acts church, that those looking around, other congregations looking in, the priest said, wow, look what God is doing over there. And they recommitted themselves to their work in preaching the word and being faithful in their own congregations. That's my prayer for this church. That by taking this action, by adding, whether it's one man or two men, my understanding is we're going to let the Holy Spirit take care of that. But there's an openness to possibly two. But my prayer is that the men that get added to the team here, because of that, the results will be that the word of God will spread. And that that disciples will increase. And that as those around look at what's going on at Life Fellowship, they'd say, wow, God's doing something over there. But that there would be results because of the action that was taken. May God bless you as you seek His choice. Again, God wants to use you in helping to identify His choice. And He will do that by the power of His Holy Spirit. God called through you to serve on the present team. Real briefly. Preacher never honors those words, does he? A little bit what to expect next Sunday. Now, I do know there's been numerous meetings, and I think you as a congregation have a pretty good understanding about what things look like. But just to be completely clear, and I'm going to read part of this, not to be redundant, but because we think it's important. The overseer and assistant credential leader appointed by the overseer shall receive nominations from the church membership. Nominations will receive verbally from those present or by signed ballot if the person is not able to attend. So next Sunday, Brother James Kurtz, another BMA overseer from the coastal region, will be here. He'll be preaching the morning message, and he'll be participating on receiving the names, the nominations from the congregation here. It also says here that if you are not able to attend, if you are going to be out of the area, if you're not able to attend, you can have a signed ballot. I'd encourage you, that was put in there not because you're going to go to the mountains next Sunday. It's an important day in the life of the church, but it's a situation where you can't be here. And you want to be here, but you can't be here. In those situations, would encourage you, after praying and seeking God's face, that you put that in a sealed envelope and you give that to any of the three ministers, either Mark, Tim, or Doug. Give that to them in a sealed envelope, and they will pass those on to me. Persons who have been members of the congregation for 2 years will be eligible to receive nominations. Persons will become eligible for consideration if submitted by at least 5 members of the congregation, all of whom are from separate households. Anyone over 21 is considered a separate household. The ministry and the assisted credential leader will tally the number of votes given for each person. They will review and discern what God is saying through any significant separation in the tally. They will then present the tally without names to the pastoral team for their discernment. After agreeing together about the tally, the overseers and assistant credential leaders, along with the pastoral team, will prayerfully review all names eligible for consideration. All eligible persons will be contacted and interviewed by the overseer and the pastoral team. So next Sunday, after Brother James has finished preaching the message, we will dismiss ourselves and we'll find probably one of the Sunday school rooms, and an usher will be dismissing you row by row, and you will each be getting up to file through the room to give the nomination that God has laid on your heart. So all members will file through the council room. It would be expected, but not required, that almost everyone would have a name. But if you don't have a name, it's okay. But expect that God will lay a name on your heart. But if you don't have a name, it's okay. You can just share that you wish God's blessing on the process or the person that is called. Again, the church body allows the Holy Spirit to call the leader. This is not an up or down vote, but seeking the Holy Spirit's direction. Full members eligible to give a name. I know you have full members and you have youth here. And I would just say to the youth, I have seen situations where there were youth that had put a lot of time in prayer and fasting, and they felt like God laid a name on their heart. And if that's the case, I want to say God bless you. Give a name. If you feel like because of your age, even though you're full member, and you feel like you don't have a name, again, that is fine as well. But you pray and you discern and you be prepared that God will lay a name on your heart as well. There will be no announcement that morning. After we're done with that process, we'll come back in and have a closing prayer and dismiss the congregation, and then we'll be doing the interviews that afternoon. Would just say that it'd be a good afternoon not to make plans and not to be away, that you would be available. And again, if in the discernment process, if it's clear in the discernment process, we'll move forward in that kind of way. If in that God has something else in mind, and the lot is needed, that would be February 12th, Sunday morning, before the licensing service. Mark or the rest of the team, is there anything that has not been clear, anything that I missed that should be shared? Feel free to speak to that. Okay. I want to thank you for your attention. I realize it got a little longer this morning. Lunch is not far away, though. But may God bless you as a congregation, as you look for God's choice, God's leading. And I am trusting, I am believing that if we put our effort into praying and fasting and seeking God's face, He will do His part and he will make that clear. So we want to trust him to do that. God bless you. Let's close with prayer. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your word. Father, I thank you for the early church and that we can look back, Father, and to see how you moved and worked there. And Father, as you think about this process of calling a deacon, of adding to the team, Father, I'm thankful that you give us a way to do that, Father, and it's through your word, and you lay out the biblical qualifications. And Father, I just ask, Father, that you would just show yourself really strong within this fellowship. Father, as each member discerns your choice, Father, your ways, the person that you would have, Father, that you would just make that clear in their heart and in their spirit. And Father, we just believe, we trust that your Holy Spirit will do his part in adding to this team. So Father, I just pray a protection over this fellowship, over this body in the name of Jesus. Father, as this important part of the life of the church, of the congregation, that Satan cannot interfere in any kind of way what your will and what your plan is. And we just thank you for Jesus, for the shed blood on Calvary, Father, for salvation, Father, for victory. God, I just pray a special blessing, your anointing on this fellowship. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. May God bless you.